I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars.
No more wars. Under Trump, we will have no more wars.
I am the candidate of peace. I am peace.
Assalamu alaikum. We have a lot of developments, a lot of things we'll be discussing on this episode. Have you heard of Professor Yang and what he's predicting with Iran?
You can call them the Illuminati. And the Illuminati are composed of three major groups, okay? You have the Jesuits, who control the Vatican. You have the Sabbatine Frankists, which control the modern state of Israel today. And you have the Freemasons, which control the national security apparatus of the United States. And they believe that Israel, this war in the Middle East, is key to the end times in creating heaven on earth.
Where he's breaking down the top three branches of the Illuminati. We call it the Satanic forces. Now, what would you think about a Christian president supposed to believe in God, but he says he really doesn't think he's going to heaven?
I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven. Okay? I think I'm not maybe heaven bound. I may be in heaven right now as we fly in Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven.
Unless he converted to another religion where a good amount of its practitioners don't believe in heaven.
And I said, this is our first Jewish president.
Yeah. Now he's the first Jewish president.
Donald Trump converted to Judaism 2 years ago, according to White House official. There it is. That's his blog. He said, President Donald Trump converted to Judaism 2 years ago and joined Chabad Lubavitch Synagogue in New York City, according to a high-level White House official. Mr. Goldberg says the story has allegedly been held by CNN's editors for months, but is due to be released within the next few days. David Elias Goldberg, a fellow at the Jewish Center of Anti-Semitic Study, has also interviewed the White House source. According to the source, Trump was pushed by his daughter Ivanka and son-in-law Jared Kushner to join the faith. At first, Trump resisted, stating it would threaten his base of evangelical Christian voters. This is the Times of Israel. Trump, the first Jewish president of the United States.
Now, that's not us saying that. That's Times of Israel. Times of what nation? Israel.
So the people in Israel, that's an English-speaking newspaper in Israel, and that's what they read, that Donald Trump is the first Jewish president of the United States.
Judaism is an extraordinarily this-worldly, this-life-focused religion.
Going to heaven has never been our goal.
All this and more with my guest, whose father and family is currently in Iran. He's not a fan of the regime, but he was running Muslims for Trump, who actually helped Trump get elected, winning him the Michigan vote. We're going to hear why he thinks that the only logical conclusion of why we're headed in this direction is because of the honey trap, Epstein files, and Trump having no other choice but to be a part of this evil prophecy engineering, end of times, trying to make these force fit these prophecies. All this and more with my next guest, Dr. Mahdi.
If you look at the Epstein files, it's clear that we are run by secret societies. And they believe that Israel, this war in the Middle East, is key to the end times.
He doesn't care about what the American people think, and he may put troops on the ground.
I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven.
In Qatar and Saudi Arabia, authorities arrested Mossad agents planning on committing bombings in those countries. Now, that's weird.
I would pretend that one missile came from Iran and shoot it down. You make them fight with each other. Just a bunch of lunatics.
Because from all the young Republicans I speak to, they are not for this war. He's being blackmailed.
And so they felt threatened that he was standing in the way. He had a very big influence.
We just attacked Iran twice in the middle of negotiations. No one's going to take you seriously.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. As you can see, we're here in front of the Dean Center. Inshallah, soon we'll be open. With every milestone that we complete, we're that much closer to our goal. So this is just a quick update. This Ramadan, the month where rewards are multiplied beyond measure. And as I speak to you right now, the work is still happening. The masjid is open. People are praying here. Quran is being recited here. We just witnessed a shahada, and the Dawah Center isn't even open yet. Thank you again. Just a quick update. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Click the link below. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Dean Show. And before I bring out my next guest, Dr. Mahdi Rozatami, who actually was one of the people who was responsible for helping get Trump elected, yes, to win the Muslim vote in Michigan, whose father is Iranian. His entire family lives in Iran. He's not a fan of the regime. Let's get into this clip here with Dr. Yang, and then we will bring out my next guest.
That if this war goes sideways and Trump is forced to use ground troops, he will probably get approval from Congress, And this will give him emergency war powers, which will allow him to influence the midterms. So Trump is thinking about a third term. And I think at the ballot box, he probably won't get it. But if there's a war going on and you can delay elections and you have emergency war powers and people rally around the flag, then he probably will get a third term. And the last factor that is very important is the eschatological factor, where if you look at the Epstein files, it's clear that we are run by secret societies. It's clear that the world is run by these individuals who have a lot of power. We don't know who they are, but they control the military. They control the national security apparatus. And these people, there are different names for these people. You can call them the Illuminati. And the Illuminati are composed of three major groups, okay? You have the Jesuits, who control the Vatican. You have the Sabbatine Frankists, which control the modern state of Israel today. And you have the Freemasons, which control the national security apparatus of the United States. And they believe that Israel, this war in the Middle East, is key to the end times in creating heaven on earth. So it's almost like a script that they're following, even though it doesn't make any geopolitical sense. Okay, so I would say that these three are the best reasons why this is happening.
Dr. Mahdi, how are you?
Good, my brother. How are you doing?
How you been? How's Ramadan going?
It's going good. You know, it's only the first week that's tough. You know, I always wean myself off of coffee a few days before too, so that way I don't get the headaches. But yeah. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, alhamdulillah. Tell me, have you heard of Dr. Yang?
All right. Am I back?
Yeah, they don't want this interview to happen, you see?
Yeah, that's how they play it. So, you know, it's like we got to do a disclaimer beforehand. Like, we love Israel. Yeah, well, I don't even know how this American flag got here. You know, let us broadcast, please.
All right, so you've heard he's making his rounds, Dr. Yang. A lot of his videos are going viral. You've heard of him?
Yeah, I saw him on Breaking Points, the same clip you saw a few days ago, actually. Yeah, he makes a lot of sense.
He makes sense. Tell me, what do you think of what he just said there?
Well,
third term,
right,
so he's running for third term. The power that he gets now, if they go into war, and then the three categories of people who are basically running the church, running the second one, and then the third, the Masons.
You know, I've never heard that one before, so I'm definitely going to take a look into that as well. But I watched the entire interview of him on Breaking Points, and he did make some pretty good the three predictions that he made was that Trump would win, he would start a war with Iran, and the West would lose the war. Now, losing, of course, doesn't mean like militarily losing. Losing means that you set your objectives and you don't accomplish them. Because some people just have this idea of like, oh, war, if you kill more of the other side, you win. Well, that's not, if that's the metric of winning, then we won in Afghanistan and Vietnam. But no sane person would ever tell you that we won those wars. So the way things are going right now is not really good at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, this hits home for you because you spent a lot of time campaigning for Trump. Is that correct? And you helped him.
Yeah.
Many claim that you were one of the ones that helped him win over Michigan. And possibly because of that, he won the elections.
Yeah, the Muslims for Trump was a big reason that he won, especially in Michigan. And it's really a shame because, you know, not only just because of this action in Iran, but a lot of the GOP congressmen and officials have been running on this anti-Sharia platform. Now, to Trump's credit himself, he doesn't really talk about that. He did a two-hour State of the Union address, and not once did he mention Sharia law or anything about Muslims. But him starting this war, you know, not only will it affect his standing and Republican standing with Muslims in the future, it's really going to hurt him with young Republicans. Because from all the young Republicans I speak to, they are not for this war. And the Muslim vote, you know, we have demonstrated that this is a vote that can change. You know, Muslims used to vote for Democrats for very reliably until 9/11. But now we demonstrated that our vote can change. And the way Trump has decided to start this war, there's no guarantee that those Muslims will come back. So, yeah, I think this is not going to be a good for the GOP in the long term at all.
Wasn't he back in 2024 and even before that, he was out there criticizing the war machine, other presidents that were pushing for war. And he was like, you're not going to get any of that with me.
I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars.
No more wars. No more disruptions. We will have prosperity and we will have peace. Under Trump, we will have no more wars, no more disruptions, and we will have prosperity and peace for all. I am the candidate of peace. I am peace.
What's the...
Yeah, I mean, he was saying that as far as 2016. And, you know, to his credit, we didn't really have anything major going on his first term. But now the second term, honestly, my opinion is that he's being blackmailed. Because if he really wanted to do this, he could have done it in the first term. Because that was just as in 2016, the GOP base, they weren't really over the whole neocon stuff. They were still closer to it back then than what they are now. So if he was going to do it, he probably should have done it in his first term. So to me, I think this is related to the Epstein stuff. I think they have something on him. Because this just doesn't make any sense. This just absolutely does not make any sense.
Wow. So you think he fell in the honey trap?
I think something like that, yes. Because it doesn't make any sense. Because genuinely, I don't think this guy is for war. It doesn't. He seems to care one thing, really, two convictions, securing the border. He doesn't like illegal immigration, and he wants to keep the stock market up. I don't think he really has any other thoughts besides that. So, and this is going to affect the stock market. This is going to really, this is going to make it hard for him to carry out the rest of his agenda. So the only thing that makes sense to me is that they have something over him.
So it's either play ball or go to jail for the rest of your life.
Or worse. I mean, he's had multiple assassination attempts too. And, you know, there's a reason, like, the Democrats are going to be the same way. There's a reason why Biden let Gaza get bombed for almost 2 years. You know, these guys, they're all either they got something on them or they're just controlled by them.
All right. This next clip is no stranger to you. This person that's going to speak here, I'm going to get your reaction to this. You actually interviewed this, I believe she's a former congresswoman, MTG.
Oh, yeah.
The president, who, by the way, Megan, this really needs to be said. Donald Trump has said repeatedly on camera and in interviews, he doesn't think he's going to heaven. Well, I want to ask a question, a serious question. What is in his mind? What is his mental state? If he doesn't think he's going to heaven and he is a man towards the end, he's in the fourth quarter. He's towards the end of his life. How does that pan out for the rest of us when we have a president of the United States who doesn't think and is convinced he's not going to heaven? What does that mean his decision making is? He already said to the New York Post today that he doesn't care about the polling. He doesn't care about what the American people think, and he may put troops on the ground. He took a, oh, this is going to be a few day war, to now it's going to be maybe 4 weeks or more. I want to say, what is happening to the man that I supported, you supported, the man that denounced what happened in Iraq, the man that said no more foreign wars, no more regime change, promise it on the campaign. J.D. Vance promised it. Tulsi Gabbard promised it. All of them promised it. And we're a year in, and we're in another f-ing war, and we've got American troops being killed. I think it's time for America to rip the Band-Aid off, and we need to have a serious conversation about what the fuck is happening to this country and who in the hell are these decisions being made for and who is making these decisions.
Okay, your thoughts on what she had to say.
I agree with everything she just said because this is just completely unacceptable. It doesn't make any sense. And as she said in that clip, the president doesn't care about the polls. He doesn't care about the economy. He doesn't care about what his voters are saying. It's very uncharacteristic, honestly, because this is the type of guy who's, I mean, let's face it, I support the guy, but we all know he's a narcissist to a degree. So what he wants to do is really cement his legacy. And this is clearly not going to work. You know, this is really one of the worst things he could have done. And I'm not a fan of the regime. A lot of Muslims are not a fan of the regime. We all remember what they did in Syria, okay? But that's not the point. The point is what we're doing here, what are the objectives? And the administration is not even telling us. Every minute it changes. Once they're saying, oh, we got to get rid of their nuclear capabilities. Well, I'm sorry. I thought that happened 6 months ago when you obliterated the entire program. Now they're saying, oh, we need to liberate the people of Iran. Well, if that was the case, that could have been happened years ago. I mean, almost every other year, the regime is people. I don't like it. But why is it happening now? And they're saying we need to stop their missiles. Well, you don't have to really worry about the missiles unless you attack them first. So none of this stuff makes any sense. And yeah, she's right. People want to have answers. Like why, I'm not going to say what she said, but what the F is going on?
Yeah. Tell me, are you familiar with PBD, Patrick Ben David?
Yeah. I know him. He's some Iranian guy. He does a podcast.
Now, have you guys met? Do your families know each other? Because your family's also from Iran. Is that right? And they're currently living there. And his family is also from Iran. Do you guys ever make a connection there?
I've never spoken to him. I doubt his family's living in Iran. I don't know.
But yours yours is currently there?
My entire dad's family's there. Wow. And I don't know if his family is there. If they are, I hope they're safe. I hope everyone is safe. But we seem to have this problem where the diaspora don't seem to have any skin in the game here. They don't have any family that live there. And they keep talking about bombing and bombing. And what kills me is that when you sit and ask them, like, okay, well, what do you expect to come out of this? And they just seem to have this childish view that if they just drop enough bombs, sprinkle enough bombs, somehow the regime will just go away and the people of Iran will just come out of the ashes and they'll be like a George Washington take over the country. They don't want to address the fact that even if you destroy the infrastructure, destroy the planes, the tanks, the big hardware, the regime still has the guns and they control the streets. So they're going to be able to enforce the law and the people have been disarmed 50 years ago. But no one wants to talk about these details. They just want to talk about dropping bombs on there and hoping for the best. Well, I got family that lives there. Hoping for the best ain't going to cut it.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense what she was saying about he's in the fourth quarter. And when he was asked about heaven, he's like, I'm not going to heaven. So
when you talked about how you hope to end the war in Ukraine because it might help you get into heaven, how does this help? Does this help?
I mean, you know, I'm being a little cute. I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven. Okay, I really don't. I think I'm not maybe heaven bound. I may be in heaven right now as we fly an Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven.
Why would you say something like that? I saw
that clip.
Yeah, you saw that, right?
He was on the plane. He said that. It was a really weird thing to say, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get into somebody also who's on top of things. He's really put his neck on the line. And just recently, he reported the interesting bust in Qatar and Saudi. That a certain group was planning some false flag. Let's get into this.
Maybe you go to Sedona this year. It really, really hurts these countries. And Israel wanted to hurt these countries. That's the point. Wanted to hurt these countries. Wanted to sow chaos and disorder because they are rivals of Israel. So it's probably not, hasn't been reported, but it's a fact that last night in Qatar and Saudi Arabia, authorities arrested Mossad agents planning on committing bombings in those countries. Now, that's weird. That doesn't make any sense. Why would the Israelis be committing bombings in two Gulf countries, which are also being attacked by Iran? Aren't they on the same side? No. No. Israel wants to hurt Iran and Qatar. And UAE, and Saudi, and Bahrain, and Oman, and Kuwait.
Wow. Your thoughts?
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, there's a history of this. You may recall Operation Levant. It happened in the 1950s, where the Israelis planted bombs in Egypt at, like, movie theaters, U.S. buildings, embassies, with the intention of blaming it on Palestinians. And they got caught. No one died, thank God. But in the early 2000s, the people who planned this operation, they got a medal from the Israeli government for this operation. And then we've seen this in Mexico as well. Israelis planned attacks on the Mexican parliament, and their plan was to blame it on Pakistanis. So there's clearly a history of this. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were trying to plant bombs in the Gulf countries and blame it on Iran to escalate the conflict.
Wow, that's interesting. When you see a pattern of this, you see, like you just mentioned, the Lafon affair. You had the USS Liberty also. And you have so many of these false flags, deliberate, that were set up, and many, you know, went through. And now I want to connect it to an actual religious figure here who's kind of talking about the same thing.
We don't know. Maybe one of the missiles will hit the mosque and clear the place for the third Beit HaMikdash. That could also be a miracle. If it was up to me, the last time when they shot hundreds of missiles, I would pretend that one missile came from Iran and shoot it down. You know? Then all the Arabs would go against Iran and it would be the end of the problems. You make them fight with each other. Just a bunch of lunatics. Never too late to deal with a bunch of cowards. The Israeli leaders, they just want to pass the week. Let us survive this week. They don't think long term.
It just shows you the cynical idea that some of these people have, that they would literally risk just letting missiles come through or even just shoot one of their own missiles to clear the way for their messianic figure or whatever they think the end of times is. But they have no care about the people who actually live. But we've seen this type of deception from the Israeli government. So it's, you know, what's really interesting is they just tell you in public. Like, they just tell you. And it's funny because they've said the same thing when it comes to Hamas. Like, the finance minister Smotrich, he says that Hamas is a liability is an asset for them internationally. They like Hamas because they can give them money and they can claim that they're terrorists and just use them as an excuse. But they just tell us in public, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting to see a religious top rabbi like this who's actually talking about something like this. You would think coming from a religious leader, you'd be on a whole different moral level to be planning something mischievous and evil like this.
Well, to them, the ends justify the means. So in his mind, he probably thinks it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. But do you feel people are now more Americans are waking up?
Not the old people, to be honest with you. And I've predicted this. I never really thought the older part of our Republican base got over the fact of the wars. I've always assumed that if Trump told them to go to war, they would just go back to their default factory settings. The young people, on the other hand, no, they're not falling for this stuff anymore. They're very upset. They don't understand the objective. So the future looks good if we can get there.
Mm-hmm. You see, the new generation now, many people are saying, like Candace Owens, this is exactly why, because regarding Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk was able to walk into the Oval Office, have a conversation with Trump, and change his mind to not go into a war. And so they felt threatened that he was standing in the way, and he had a very big influence. So people like her and others think that this is a piece of the puzzle now to why he was unalived.
Could be, but you know, I don't want to get into too much of that stuff because you never know what's true and what's false.
Yeah.
But, you know, Charlie did have a big impact, especially with the youth. And that's what Trump respected, right? And that's why Trump still talks to Tucker. You know, Tucker was at the White House a few days ago trying to talk him out of the war.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I think they got something on him, man. Because I just don't know why else would he be hell-bent on doing this. It doesn't make any sense.
That's the only thing that makes sense, that you've been compromised now and you got to play ball, huh?
It doesn't help him with the stock market. Because that seems to be his top thing, right? Remember when the Epstein files, Pam Bundy's out there, be like, but the Dow is over 50,000. So we know they care about the Dow, but this is not going to help the Dow. Mm-hmm. So this is actually going to hurt it. This is going to hurt the global economy, which he cares about, to get his numbers up for the midterms. So the only way I can think of him doing a self-inflicted wound like this is that they got something on the guy or his family.
Mm-hmm. So what message would you have for Trump?
It's never too late to try to work your way. What was that?
No, since you were one of the ones who were deeply involved in campaigning Muslims for Trump, and now this is obviously opposite to what you wanted happening and what he campaigned on.
Well, you know, you can only have leverage over politicians if they're up for re-election. So there's nothing really to tell him at this point. The only thing I would tell him as far as that is, if he wants to help his own burden in the afterlife, is to quit doing this path. Because, yes, like he said himself, he's not on the way to heaven right now with the stuff that he's doing. Because the truth is, you have to hold politicians accountable. Because people are always saying, well, you voted for him. Do you regret voting for Trump? Of course not. Are you kidding me? If we had voted for Harris, that would have just said that Muslims are okay with a genocide. And then your vote would be completely irrelevant. And no one would ever talk to you ever again. You would become like black voters who vote for the Democratic Party 90% of the time. That's why no one bothers talking to them anymore. So under no circumstances, you should let your vote become like that. So there's really no regrets, and there's nothing to really tell him because he's not up for re-election. But the message will be very clear to the Republican Party. This is not popular. This is if you thought we were going to lose the midterms before, we are definitely going to lose the midterms now with this stupid war. And going forward, if the Republicans want to have any hope of taking the young vote back or not lose the young Republicans right now, they better find some answers of why we're doing this war, what's the goal. And if they don't have any adequate answers, they better stop this right now or they're going to lose an entire generation.
What's your foresight? What do you see happening? Do you see this lasting a long time? Do you think it's going to stop?
You know, that's a really good question, Dean. And most people don't want to ask that question. Where do we go from here? And we've seen this before with Iraq and Afghanistan. They said like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and before you know it, it's 10 years. You can see right now the administration is moving the goalposts. Trump said 4 days. Pete Hegseth says like, oh, maybe 4 weeks. Now maybe 8 weeks. Maybe we have to have some ground troops. I don't know where this is going to go. What I will tell you is this, though. The regime is not going to be removed by just airstrikes. That's not going to happen. What's probably going to happen is over a few weeks, we're probably just going to stop. The regime is going to become even more hardline. They're going to cut the internet even more censorship. It's going to look more like North Korea, a military dictatorship. All those reformists and moderates that existed within the Iranian government, those guys are gone. Right now, if you're a moderate or a supposed negotiator in the Iranian government, you are going to be laughed at by the hardliners because we just attacked Iran twice in the middle of negotiations. No one's going to take you seriously. And in fact, we've damaged our own country because going forward in the future, if we have to negotiate with Russia or China, these countries are not going to take us seriously because they've seen what we've done previously in the middle of negotiations. So I expect the Iranian regime to become even more entrenched, more hardline. More Iranians are going to get and probably going to have more conflicts down the road.
It seems like, what do you think? A lot of this revolves around these end times prophecies. You have these hardliners, these extremists on both sides. You have Christian extremists. You have these extremists. And now they're trying to engineer these prophecies. This individual that you mentioned, was it Hex? He also back a few years back, he was talking about, I believe, the Third Temple and other things that are in line. They want so many of the people there, so then the end times can come. And it seems like they're taking this in this direction, and it's all based on these events, end times, that they're trying to force to happen, and they're taking everybody else along for the ride.
Yeah, we have a big problem with this. You've seen maybe some of them, like John Hagee. He's like the head of Christians yeah. United for Israel, Kufi.
Exactly, yeah.
And these people, like I said, they represent like the older generation, and they have a loyalty to a foreign country as opposed to our country here. And this is going to become the problem, is that if they get their way, this is going to continue to get worse. Now, the young people, they don't really buy this stuff. They're not buying this messianic nonsense. But then you have also on Iran, they have their own religious ideology. The Shia is about the end of times, the 12th Imam and all that stuff. And yeah, I think they're bonkers too. But at the very least, they're not going to start World War III over it, because we are the ones that are initiating this conflict with no plan. And let them talk more. These people who say all this stuff you just mentioned, that the end of times, let them talk more and let them expose what they think. Because reasonable people, independents, and young people, they're not about that. So I'd say let these guys talk, and eventually people are going to figure it out if we haven't destroyed each other until then.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and hopefully may God Almighty Allah keep your family and loved ones.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that.
Safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam.